Genealogy by Tim, Season 6, Episode 7, recorded July 31st, 2026. Hello, everybody. I'm Tim of genealogybytim.com. The email address is tim@genealogybytim.com, and this is the July podcast. Seems like it's the middle of summer, right between July and August, but really, for me, summer's winding down. There's only 2 weeks left for me. I go back to work on August 17th, and I had a pretty eventful July. Genealogy-wise, I'll talk about three things I did this month. First of all, I took a ride out to Lancaster County and did my Lancaster County thing. Second, I spent a lot of time, a little over 40 hours to be exact, on Twitch, streaming what I do. I'll talk a little bit about that and where you can find me on Twitch. And then lastly, my PALS application is just about done. All it needs is a checklist, a signature, and it should be ready to deliver. I'll tell you all about that coming up on Genealogy by Tim. First, the Lancaster trip. And for me, this is the highlight of just about every summer. There may have been one or two summers recently where I have not gone back to Lancaster. And then other summers, it may have been just a one-day thing. Like I'd get on the train early in the morning, put my bike on the train, head on out, spend a day there, get back on the train in the evening. And now that I drive, I could do a one-day out there. Take a, 1 to 2 hour drive out, spend the day, take a 1 to 2 hour drive back, not even spend the night. That is accessible to me now that I have a driver's license. But this year I went old school. And by old school, I mean take 4 days, pack the camping gear on the bike, go camping, ride out, ride back. So I did that just like the good old days when I was a young and poor genealogist, and that was most affordable way to get out there. Here's what happened. It was 4 days total. 2 of those days were transit days. So I departed on Friday, July 10th, and spent most of the day riding. Got the bike packed up, camping gear, a sleeping bag, all the equipment. And the route that I followed was generated by Google Maps with very little editing or adaptation. Okay, so this is not my normal Route 23. I want to do something a little different, so I said, why don't we just let Google decide this time? And Google picked a route for me that traced Route 30 pretty closely. I was on Route 30 for only a little bit, okay? Route 30 is kind of a dangerous road to ride a bike on, but I was on there for parts, but most of the rest of the trip just kind of paralleled Route 30. And went through the various towns along Route 30 from Paoli, Fraser, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville. Okay. And then from Coatesville, we turned up north, went through Whitehorse Intercourse before ending up at, we could say Ronx also, before ending up at my destination, which is the old Millstream Campground, which is part of the Dutch Wonderland entertainment area. And I'll tell you what, I was not super thrilled with this route, okay? And my objection to it is that the route was about 76 miles, something like that. And I kind of felt like I was in urban areas for about 60 of those miles. And I didn't get out to see the open space and farmland until after 60 miles. And my normal route, which is the Route 23 route, the urban areas just start to fade away a little bit earlier in the trip. And this is like one of the therapeutic things for me when I take this trip is that the urban areas just kind of little by little fade away and are slowly replaced by open spaces, farmland, clear air, clear skies, until pretty much I'm in farmland for a lot of the trip. And that's Route 23. All right, that starts at Phoenixville, goes through Warwick, Elverson, Morgantown. You need a lot of open space or a lot of like wooded area between Phoenixville and Elverson. And Morgantown's like a little town. But then, like after Morgantown, it's farmland and open space, and I kind of like to get there sooner. But anyway, that was day one, cycling into Old Millstream Campground. I got there at about 7 o'clock. I had a light dinner at the Your Place restaurant and sports pub. It's very close walking distance from Dutch Wonderland, okay? And it kind of has like a little bit of a dive type of atmosphere. I don't know if it's suitable for all ages. I will say it's not a family type place, okay? Between the entertainment that's on the jukebox, okay? But for me, it's a good place to just relax, have something to eat, have something to drink before calling it a night at the Old Millstream Campground. And that's how day one ended. I got in a little too late for check-in, but if you go to these campgrounds after the office closes, usually they'll put like a map or something saying where you should set up, and then you can settle the bill with them in the morning, which is what I did. So that was day one. All right, day two, research at the Lancaster History Museum and Research Center. I was able to do what I set out to do, which was photograph the full collection of the Henry B. Schaffner records. I photographed the whole thing because I've got a lot of relatives between the Hogendoblers and the Mummas and probably some others. I've got a lot of relatives mentioned in those documents. And if I wanted to drive out to Lancaster every time I thought, why don't I look at the Schaffner records, it would be a lot of driving and a lot of gas. So I said, why don't I just photograph the whole thing? I'm not entirely sure if this is how it is expected that you use this record. They have a agreement that you initial and sign that says if you wish to take extensive photographs of any collection, you should write to them in advance, 2 weeks, something like that. Extensive is kind of a wiggle word. It did not take me very long to go through these three volumes and photograph every page of them. I was there doing it kind of out in the open. Nobody really asks, hey, what are you doing with all these? Are you taking pictures of it? No, nobody asked. If I was there to photograph, you know, something larger, something that would have taken all day or maybe more than one day, all right, maybe that would have been more of a situation, but nobody seemed to stop me, so I just kept clicking the clicker. Now, these are going to be for my own private research. These will not be posted online. They are the property of the Lancaster History Museum and Research Center, so I'm keeping them private. I'm not posting them anywhere, but if I find, you know, a record or two that I think is interesting for my personal research, I could potentially post that. And there's a procedure that the Lancaster History Museum and Research Center will request that you go through to post, you know, something you found in their collection. So anything that amazing, you know, I'll be in contact with them to see if I can repost it. But yeah, the purpose was not to heist the records and post them for all to see. The purpose was just so I have this for my personal research, so I don't have to drive back and forth every time I want something. So I got those records. I also got the Strine records. These are the baptism and burial records of Reverend J.J. Strine. The marriage records have been transcribed and published. You can buy a published copy of transcriptions of Reverend Strine's marriage records. But as far as I know, there isn't a similar volume for the birth and burial records. So you kind of have to, as far as I know, you have to go to Lancaster History to view those records. But I photographed those as well, so I have my own personal access to them. So the last thing I found at Lancaster History Museum and Research Center was a collection of tombstone transcriptions from Silver Spring Cemetery. And I was hoping to use this information in my PALS application. And I did find some information that was useful. See, here's the theory. The theory is, if you go to Silver Spring Cemetery, find the gravestone of Catherine Klein, who was born Catherine Hogendobler in 1813 and died Catherine Klein in 1868. If you go find her gravestone in the Silver Spring Cemetery, it is weathered and nearly impossible to read. I believe it's impossible to photograph. So the thought was, rather than photographing the actual gravestone, I would look to see if maybe back in the 1950s or 1930s, did somebody go through the cemetery and make transcriptions at a time when the gravestone may have been more legible? Turns out that a collection of Silver Spring Cemetery tombstone encryptions does exist in a collection called the Warner Collection. which spans many decades and many cemeteries. But the transcriptions from Silver Spring Cemetery look to have been taken in 1983, at a time when the gravestone was already substantially weathered. But this collection of tombstone transcriptions reported a death year and month, August 1868. Now, if you combine this information, okay, the tombstone transcription giving death month and year of August 1868, you combine that with census records that show birth year of about 1813, this, you can piece it together and put that information on the PALS application. So whereas the tombstone itself is not really legible, it's not really photographable, we have substitute information that we can use instead. And that was day two. I had intended on day two to go out to the cemeteries and take pictures, but thunderstorms prevented me from doing that. I had lunch at Annie Bailey's Irish Public House in the center of the city of Lancaster. And when I had finished my lunch, it was raining pretty hard, thunderstorms. So I kind of hung out at the Annie Bailey's for a little while, waited for the rain to go away. And by that time, it was getting pretty late, so I went right back to camp and did not engage in any gravestone photography on day two. Day three. Okay, on this day, I specifically went out to Lancaster to be there July 12th, because July 12th was the day of the Pennsylvania Music Expo, which is hosted by the Keystone Record Collectors, an organization that I discovered through an obituary of a distant relative, Herbert Mumma, who died in 1996. But since I am also a record collector, I incorporated a visit to the Pennsylvania Music Expo into my Lancaster trip. I bought a nice stack of records. Don't ask me how I piled these. Actually, you can ask me how I piled these records on my bike. I wrapped them up in my sleeping bag, and that's how I protected them and kept them safe on top of my bike rack. So, this record show happens once a month. The next show will be August 9th. It's a little over a week away. They do this once a month, so if you're into collecting records, I would highly recommend. This is in East Petersburg. If you visit recordcollectors.org, you will find the website for this monthly event. Now, after the Pennsylvania Music Expo, hosted by the Keystone Record Collectors, things started to go downhill a little bit. So we had a couple breakdowns. So first thing, I had intended to photograph Catherine Klein's gravestone at Silver Spring Cemetery one more time just to see if I can get a better view of the inscription. On the way there, I suffered a flat tire. Everything was going so well, right? The bike is operating flawlessly, but you know, usually there's at least one flat tire or other kind of mechanical issue. So this occurred in between the Pennsylvania Music Expo and the Silver Spring Cemetery. But I took advantage of the situation. It happened right outside of a pizza place, so I had some pizza for lunch and got back on the road. And then when I got to the cemetery was my next mechanical failure, and that is my camera, my beloved Panasonic Lumix LX100. It's a DMC LX100 camera. It suffered a system error, zoom error, we'll call it. And this is a physical breakdown of the lens telescoping mechanism. And I sat there for a little while at the cemetery, fidgeting with the camera lens, trying to get it to expand and retract all the way, but it was no use. Then my camera, my good camera, was and still is defunct. And since I've got home, I contacted a camera repairman, and the camera repairman got back to me, said, they don't make that lens assembly anymore. If he happens to have any used LX10s in his shop, he could disassemble the camera and swap out the lens assemblies. But he did not get back to me and say, hey, what bringing you? He did not say that. So I have a defunct camera sitting on my desk right now. It's very sad. And I guess I got to buy a new one from eBay. I'm going to try to go for about the same make and model because I really like the balance of size and functionality of this camera that I've been using. It's the Panasonic Lumix DMC LX100. That's DMC stroke LX100, if you're English. So that happened. I did not get to do what I meant to do or wanted to do at the Silver Spring Cemetery, but I did stream myself on Twitch, and I just sort of described how that is a very special place for me to go. It's just a place I love to go. The view is very nice. It's nice and open. I like to go there, clear my mind, you know, be grateful for, you know, my health and all that good stuff. And just enjoy my Lancaster trip. This is one of my favorite places to be. But I did not get to take any pictures there. And I went right from there to the Breezy View Lookout Point, which is right around some of the lands that my revolutionary ancestor, John Hogendobler, bought from the Penn family, you know, William Penn's grandsons. And I wanted to see if I could figure out why the border line. Now, when John devised that land to his sons, there was a certain odd shape of the dividing line between the boundary from one son in the north and his other sons to the south. And I wanted to see if there's any feature of the land that could explain the strange shape of the boundary. And I found at that location a hiking trail. Okay, this land is now part of the Chickies Rock County Park, and there's a hiking trail in the area. So I walked the hiking trail. I busted out my Twitch stream again and streamed myself hiking in the woods. I did not find anything that stood out to me as a feature of the land that would have created this strange shape of the boundary line. But I also didn't really come close to that area on the hiking trail, but I used GPS mapping software to map my hike, and now I have a better idea of where this boundary feature is in relation to the hike that I was on. So if I go back, you know, maybe I'll take a day trip out. I can check out this area and maybe get a little, see if I can get a little bit closer to where that boundary feature is. With any luck, I mean, it was pretty dense, I think. It was a pretty dense thicket there. It's not really a place that I would like to hike, but I'll, you know, take a closer look, see if I can get in there. It'd be very interesting if I found, like, ruins of an old building or something, and then we would know, like, hey, maybe the boundary line was drawn this way to go around the house or whatever. So, yeah, I don't know exactly what's at that spot, but at least I know pretty much where that spot is in relation to what's currently there. So that was fun. And then lastly, genealogy wise, I stopped into the Mount Bethel Cemetery and found the graves of Jacob Hardy and his wife Catherine. These are other Hogendobler descendants, and it's one of two lots I intended to find at the Mount Bethel Cemetery, but between the flat tire and the camera malfunction, a lot of time was, I would say, squandered is, I guess, too harsh of a word, but that time was not applied to the, you know, genealogy research the way I was hoping it would be. But I did get to find one out of the two lots I was looking for there. And then I called it a night genealogy-wise. Okay, I went to go eat at the Inn at Bully's, but guess what? It was closed. I guess they're not open Sundays. So I went a few blocks down the road to the Union Station Grill for dinner, and then I headed back to camp from that. And then in the morning, I packed up my stuff, I broke camp, and went home. Now, I had a choice, all right? There was one other place I wanted to stop, right? But I ultimately did not stop there. I wanted to stop into the office of the Hempfield United Methodist Church. They may have more information about the Silver Spring Cemetery. You know, I stopped in there on the way to Silver Spring Cemetery, but it was after hours. No one was really there, except the guy was trimming hedges. Okay. There was a door of the place that gave office hours, said these are the hours that were open. And I said, that's great. I took a picture of the office hours, and I said, all right, next time I'm in Lancaster, I will try to stop in the office hours at this time, and I will ask, do you know more about the Silver Spring Cemetery? So I had thoughts, like maybe I could do that on the morning of the fourth day, but I just decided against it. I was carrying too much stuff. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to go out there. It would have added another couple hours to my cycling that day that I didn't want to do. So day four, I went home. I went home the normal way. I took the Route 23 way and just kind of enjoyed the scenery, enjoyed the familiar sights. And I got in pretty late in the evening on July 13th. And that was it for my Lancaster trip. It was always very fun, very therapeutic, restorative, and I got some good records to study whenever I'm researching my Hogan Dobler and Mama ancestors. All right, so Lancaster trip out of the way. Next thing that consumed a lot of my time this month is Twitch streaming, and really this is sort of best understood if you go yourself to my Twitch channel and see what I've been doing. This is a platform where I could, right, just work on my computer myself, build my family tree, set up my sources all myself, and I would have a nice family tree, you know, as a result of my work, but I could also turn on my webcam and stream what I'm doing so that other people can see and maybe offer suggestions or maybe be inspired by what I'm doing. So I'm not working alone. There's a community that can be built around your Twitch stream. And if you go to my channel right now, you will see some of the work I've been doing. Now, this work spans several branches of the family tree. I got some of my maternal grandfather's Jewish side, a little bit of my paternal grandmother's Irish side. So the research kind of varied as to what I was doing. I was doing a decent amount of preparing my PALS application, using artificial intelligence to create beautiful covers for the binder that I put together for that. Now, when I was on Twitch, I had certain goals in mind because they try to guide you through the process of building a community on Twitch, and they have you do certain things. I'm going to read off certain achievements, right, that I was able to check off this month. All right, the one that I was going for was to stream 25 unique days in the last 30 days. All right, so basically, calendar month, for 25 of those 30 days in that month, they want you to turn on the stream and stream something. Now, that's more than I would normally do. All right, I'm more of like a once-a-week type of person. But in order to check off this achievement in my to-do list on Twitch, I spent, you know, most of the time, most of the days I was on at least 15 minutes, some days more, some days less. And that was achieved on the 18th of July. There's another achievement I wasn't really going for, but then once I finished the 25 days, I was like, you know, I've come this far. Why not go for it? Let's go for 40 hours in 30 days. That required a couple streams. I did one 8-hour marathon, and after a few days, I managed to top the 40-hour in 30 days threshold. That was completed on July 23rd. Let's take a look at some of these other advancements I completed. 25 hours in the last 30 days was done. 12 unique days in the last 30 days was done. Reached 10 followers. All right, I'm up to 45. The next goal is 50. So if I want to get up to 50 followers, I'm going to have to stream a little more and see if I can maybe advertise this Twitch channel. Maybe you listening right now can follow my Twitch stream and help put me over the 50 follower mark there. But then there's some other like hour thresholds, like 8 hours and 30 days, 7 days and 30 days, 4 hours and 30 days. Like these are achievements for beginning streamers. So I'm, you know, pretty proud of my 25 days out of 30 days and then 40 hours and 30 days. Those are, you know, pretty hardcore kind of, you know, you gotta be a real streamer to get that. But that was done. And I would encourage my listeners here to check out my Twitch stream, which I will be linked in the show notes, and give me a follow. Try to get me over that 50 follower mark. Best way to do that is really to just sit and stream some more, but we're getting near the end of the summer. I'm trying to get out and do some different things, so I think peak subscriber addition numbers are probably going, we've probably met that, we've probably passed the peak there. But hey, if you happen to catch my podcast, head on over to Twitch and give me a follow, all right? It would be nice if I could settle into a more comfortable schedule. I haven't yet decided on one. Maybe Saturdays I'll do a little streaming, or maybe just any time that I have a project that I really think will be interesting for people to see, I'll just, and rather than doing it myself in a vacuum, I'll turn on the webcam and see if anyone else is out there and interested in what I'm doing here. So yeah, check that out. All right, you may get a notification, like if you subscribe to my Twitch stream, you may get a notification when I go live. All right, hey, if I go live, you want to stop by the stream, drop me a comment, I will acknowledge you for sure, and you know, thank you for checking out the stream. Or you could, you know, sit back, you don't have to comment, although that would be nice to see who's out there. But yeah, you can see me, you can see what I do, you can see me in action on Twitch sometimes. All right. Once the school year starts back up again, this channel may go a little bit dormant. I'm hoping that's not the case, but it's just kind of the way things go. Now, I'm teaching fewer classes this year coming up, so that may be a good thing for my genealogy research. So in the past, the Twitch channel has gone dormant when the school year started up again, but we'll see. We'll see how much time I have, how free I feel to do other things. All right, but anyway, Twitch, check it out. Link in the show notes. All right, friends, the last topic, great importance. Well over a year in the making, my PALS application is finally complete. And I spent a lot of time on this, all right? The way I envisioned my summer going, I was going to be doing a lot of coursework for Masters Plus 30. That would get me a pay raise if I can get 30 additional credits beyond my master's degree. And I was expecting to do a lot of work on that this summer. I signed up for 5 courses. I completed one of those courses. It was on graphic design, actually, and I kind of enjoyed it. And then after that course was done, I kind of threw myself headfirst into the Lancaster trip and also this PALS application, which I kind of want to be off my table here. And it's done. Okay, I did the last major edits. Okay, earlier this week, I made a nice cover, front cover and back cover. I used Gemini Artificial Intelligence to draw me out a nice decorative cover. It looks really super cool. The cover slips in. I made a binder, okay, to store all my documents that I'm using to prove my claims. And then I used Artificial Intelligence to design a front cover, back cover, and a spine for this binder. It looks really sharp. I'm really thrilled with it. I have 2 versions of the cover. One is going to be given to the Genealogical Society, and the other I will keep for myself, and I'll keep it for myself to show people, you know, the people in my family may be interested to see it. But that is a huge accomplishment. Now, just a few statistics on this PALS application. If you want to know more details about what PALS is, all right, I guess I can say the basics of it. Kind of like Sons of the American Revolution, in that I am proving my descendancy from a colonial era ancestor. Okay. PAL stands for Pennsylvania Ancestors Lineage Society. Okay, it's run by the Genealogical Society of Pennsylvania, and membership is open to people who are members of the Genealogical Society of Pennsylvania and who are able to prove this lineage. And they have several tiers of membership, going from folks whose ancestry has been in Pennsylvania for 100 years or more, right, going all the way back to pre-revolutionary ancestors. So I proved going all the way back to pre-revolutionary ancestors. And I got all the documents I need to make all the proofs of all those links in a binder that I will hand off to the Genealogical Society. They will review my work and either grant me a certificate or tell me what I can improve on this thing. And I wanted to have this done by July. And today is, in fact, July 31st. So I'm going to review the checklist one more time after I finish recording here, and then sign my name and date my application, July 31st, 2026. And then just go through it one more time to make sure there aren't any little typos. I think I'm pretty much done with the substantive evidence here and statistics here. All right, I've got 46 documents across 76 pages. And plus I have an appendix that makes some of these relationships a little more clear through land records, all right, land being passed from one generation to another to another. And those pages bring me up to 122 total pages in this binder of documents, explanations, appendices, and all that good stuff. So, quite a document. I intend to hand that off to the Genealogical Society of Pennsylvania before the end of the summer, but it'll be good for me. I will have met my goal if I can check off that checklist and sign and date that today before the end of July. So now that that's done, maybe I can get back over to my Master's Plus 30 coursework and work toward a pay raise so I can afford more genealogy, of course. Folks, that's it for the podcast today. Now, August goes by super quickly. Teachers go back to school on August 17th. Students are back a week after that, August 24th. So I really have only 2 weeks left of the summer. And I don't know. Dread is a little bit too strong of a word, but I always feel like I could use a couple more weeks of summer. But for the podcast, this means it may be in my interest to record something on the weekend of the 14th or so. By the way, Page, the Pennsylvania Genealogy event, is an online event. I expect to be helping to moderate some of the Zoom discussions that will be going. This is an online event, kind of like a conference, where if you pay a certain amount of money, they'll let you attend these virtual conferences. I will be on the tech support side of it, mostly helping people with the Zoom and or just kind of making sure that the Zoom lectures go, you know, smoothly according to plan, aren't interrupted with a lot of background noise, that sort of thing. So this is the Pennsylvania Genealogy event. It goes from August 6th to August 9th. You can sign up for it at the Genealogical Society of Pennsylvania's website. Again, I expect to be moderating. They may or may not need me to volunteer, but I said I'd be available for it, so I expect to be there for at least some of the lectures as a moderator. And then after that, there's really just 1 week left of summer. It would be in my interest, I think, to get my podcast in early before my mind is clouded with work stuff. So yeah, look for a podcast, you know, sometime mid-August, and I'll tell you how the rest of my summer panned out. Until then, I've been Tim. The website is genealogybytim.com. You can email me at tim@genealogybytim.com. I would love to hear from you. If you heard this, let me know where you heard it. I'm kind of curious how this is propagating, if it is. So yeah, that's it. And yeah, till then, keep on digging. Your next family history adventure awaits.
Oh no, that means I'm gonna have to log out of my garden. Well, my crops, or not my crops, my pets that I'm hatching, the mythical ones, they take 24 hours. It'll be less likely. Every time I leave and don't have my critters up and running, there's less a chance that they're going to be either gold or rainbow.
It's a risk you'll have to take.